Across America, it's The Weekend with Joe Pags. To talk to Joe, call 800-501-7080. And now, The Weekend. Here's Joe Pags.
Hey, great to have you. Wonderful radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all of that and more right there. Make sure you stop by. Also, sign up for the email list because I'll send out some links every day or every other day or whatever. Links to stories that we're talking about here. Also, links to interviews that I've done on the show as well. Just to sort of let you know what's happening in the program today, we've got plenty of great interviews. Tricia Pepe has been working with me. How long has it been, Tricia?
I feel like it's been maybe like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah.
And what is this crap? You can't go to Chicago. What is this?
Dude, you're going to make me cry because that was like the
It's crap!
That was the toughest email that I've probably ever had to write.
Let me read the email to the people.
No! Don't do that.
Dear Joe, screw you and your show. I'm going to the Windy City.
I was like, wait a second. Hang on.
I have it right here. I will publish it if I need to.
I dare you.
Tricia, you deserve to be on the air every day. I think that you're incredible. You've been a remarkable help to me on this program. And frankly, some weekends I'm just drunk and hungover. You know that.
Oh.
And then you just carry the show. Oh. So, I mean, that's really what it is.
You're going to
the big city, and you're going to go and produce some show, and you're going to kick some ass, and you'll be on the air, right?
Yeah.
They can't not put you on the air. Listen to the voice.
They do pull me on air sometimes, so I think now that I'm actually going to be there, it's going to probably be more than just being behind the scenes, so... I'm very excited. I'm very excited, but I'm also very sad. And I'm not going to be under the reign of Jerry Brown. So
well, that's true. Yeah, but you're not going to a much better place. Rahm Emanuel runs that city. It's not much better. Come on.
I know.
Some would say it's worse. But listen, I want you to kick ass, and it's stupid. Just to let you know, it's stupid that you're not going to be on this program anymore. Can't you still do the show?
I would love to. But
that's a lie. You know what happens? You're going to be like, yeah, I remember way back when guy was a jerk. Yeah, I used to be on his show. Yeah.
No.
I'm going to be on the resume. It'll just be on the resume. Yeah, you know, it was a joke.
Okay.
Whatever,
okay.
Dude.
Yeah.
So now listen, but you're a California girl. How is that going to work? I mean, how much time have you spent in Chicago?
I've only been there once, and it was for like 4 days. And
You're going to freeze your ass off.
I believe that was in the email when I sent that to you. I do believe so. So go ahead.
Yeah.
It was in
That's
parentheses.
Yeah,
I was like,
right.
Hi, Joe. Just wanted to let you know.
But it's just a matter of it's an incredible opportunity, right?
Yes. I'm going for the opportunity. And
does the show exist now, or are they just starting a new show?
No, it exists now. So
can we say the show name, or can we not say it?
Yeah, no, you can.
What's
definitely
it called?
Say it's called The Rendezvous.
Oh, sorry. That's not the right show for you. No, you can't. The Rendezvous?
Yeah, it's called The Rendezvous.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
It's cool. It's cool.
A little different topically, I would guess,
oh,
than what I do.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. It's definitely, you go, whatever you want to talk to me about, I'm sure I'll be able to cover it. You want to talk politics?
Really?
Let's do this. But The Rendezvous, this is where it's funny because my dad is like, you're doing a relationship show. And
so what? People call in and complain about their girlfriends and boyfriends and crap?
People call in and they're looking for advice. And it's just like people tell their stories and they share their stories. And if you can relate to it, and I think a lot of people do relate to it, but it's a fun show to work on. And the people that I work with are amazing. And
just send me an email with their phone number and their names and I'll take care of this.
Oh, okay.
What?
That's gonna be no.
Give me Big Earn's phone number. I want to talk to Earn about this. I want to make sure that he approves.
You know what? And I talked to my dad, and now he has to show me how to make his spaghetti and meatballs. So I'm gonna miss my family.
No.
Like I'm moving.
He's That's not the way it works. He doesn't teach you how to make the spaghetti and meatballs. You stay home and have it when he makes it.
No.
We're proud of you. You're moving on to bigger and better things, and that's awesome. And we will miss the hell out of you.
Thank you. I will miss you.
And I got to tell you, I hope you freeze your ass off.
It's fine.
Are you moving really in January?
Yeah, January 4th.
What is wrong with you? It's Chicago.
You know what? Maybe I'll just bring my snowboard and I'll attach it to the back of a pickup truck and they can
That'll just pull me.
I'll do that. That's what I'm like.
Okay.
It'll be
fine. Make sure you send us a video of that. We'll post that on the page.
You're welcome.
Ed Klein is, for me, the expert when it comes to the Clintons, the Clinton machine. He's got a book out now called All Out War, and it's about Donald Trump and the abuse he's taking from the left and the right in this country. And I've got him on. Ed, I appreciate you coming on. How are you?
I'm great, Joe. Thanks for having me on your wonderful show.
Yeah, always appreciate the time. The knowledge I get from you is incredible. You are, for me, the preeminent expert on the Clintons and who they really are. We'll talk about what's going on with the Democrats this week in a second. But I want to start with this. All Out War, the plot to destroy Trump. This is real, isn't it? I mean, for a while you figured it would bubble up and the crybabies would have their way for a while. But it turns out, I mean, like, embedded into the government and embedded into the media, embedded into education, there really is a war on this guy, isn't there?
You couldn't be more correct about that. And in this book, All Out War, I have two FBI reports that I've reproduced in full, complete FBI reports. One of them talks about the deep state and how the FBI agents infiltrated meetings of these rogue elements in the bureaucracy in church basements in Washington, D.C., where they were being instructed by union organizers and community organizers how to sabotage Donald Trump's agenda by making sure that they deleted files from their computer, slow walked regulations, leaking to the press. That's one part of this plot to destroy Donald Trump, the deep state.
If you had to, in less than a paragraph, explain exactly what the deep state is, because it sounds like something from science fiction. It sounds like it's not real, and right. This is just somebody being paranoid about it. But this is, as you say, very real, and a lot of these people have been embedded for a long time in the government we don't see much, and right. They're leftovers when Trump took over. Explain the deep state in about a paragraph, if you can.
Both the Clintons and the Obamas, when they were in the White House, appointed and hired tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands, because the government is run by several hundred thousand people that we don't even know the names of.
Right.
They hired these people. They made sure that they were protected by the union. And these people who live in Washington, D.C. and Northern Virginia, by and large, and vote 98% Democratic, are the people inside the government who are trying their best to sabotage Donald Trump.
So how does it work? It's Ed Klein. The name of the book is All Out War, The Plot to Destroy Trump. We know there are a lot of leftovers from the Clinton era. There are leftovers from the George W. Bush era. Turns out he's not as conservative as we thought, and he really is sort of a big government guy. You got a lot of leftovers from Obama. And before Obama left, he actually changed a rule or regulation through executive order that allowed for these people to stay on longer or to start actually doing investigations or snooping on Trump as he was coming in. So how do you clean them out? I mean, if they're embedded and they can't just be fired, and I think that he, through executive order, stopped them from being allowed to be fired on the spot, what do you do with them?
Well, you try to fire them. This is exactly what Jeff Sessions, our attorney general, is grappling with as we speak.
Right.
He, as you know, the Justice Department is trying to defund, not pay sanctuary cities that are holding illegal immigrants and protecting them.
Right.
But within the Justice Department, there are these left-wingers who are trying to sabotage these rules so that Sessions is going crazy. He's trying to root them out. He doesn't know who they are because they're anonymous. And there's a lot of, what should I call it, almost sleuthing going on inside the Justice Department, wow, trying to find out who these people are.
That's amazing to me. It's Ed Klein, All Out War, The Plot to Destroy Trump. It's available now. Make sure you go and get it. We've got the deep state, and I have a better understanding now than certainly I did before the election. Was the deep state responsible for Russia collusion? Was it responsible for he's a misogynist? Was it responsible for he's nuts and we should 25th Amendment him? Is that all the deep state?
Well, here's what I think about that, Joe. You know, I've been a journalist for more years than I care to let you know, but it goes way, way back for decades.
Right.
As you know, I was the editor-in-chief of the New York Times Magazine when the New York Times was still a straight newspaper and not a left-wing rag.
Oh, yeah.
This plot, part and parcel of this plot is the mainstream media who talk to these people in the deep state on the phone and in meetings and in cocktail parties and in other places where they get information that they then twist and turn and run on their front pages and broadcast on NBC, ABC, and CBS.
Right.
To try to delegitimize the president and ultimately to forward this effort to impeach him.
Yeah, but why do they play along?
The media.
I guess the question has to be, and as you know, I'm a former journalist. I was a television news anchor. I've won many, many awards. I understand the job. As a journalist, I wanted to get it right, and I wanted to be really good at my job. Why are these so-called journalists and journalistic outlets playing along? Why do they want the same thing the deep state wants? His answer to that when we come back. It's Ed Klein, author. All Out War is the name of the book. Go and get it. We come back. He answers that question. Why exactly would journalists want to be wrong and to push propaganda instead of doing their jobs? 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. Stay here. Hi, great to have you. It's the weekend with Joe Pags in the middle of my interview with Ed Klein, author of All Out War. It's about Donald Trump and the attacks coming from the deep state and beyond. And I just asked him, why are these journalists, so-called journalists, so ready to not be journalists and just be propagandists? Why would they want to be wrong purposely?
Well, because this is almost a religious war, if you will, in which journalists throughout the United States, with very few exceptions, are, as you know, vote Democratic, are very, very liberal, and believe in this crusade, if you will, that they have against the Republican Party, against conservative values, and now against this disruptive president, Donald Trump, who is trying to drain the swamp. And for instance, if you look at today's newspapers, there's not even much coverage of his trip to Asia, which is probably one of the most important trips a president has taken in a generation.
Right.
This is a huge, huge, important story. None of you hardly see. You have Harvey Weinstein, and you have the Commerce Secretary, and you have all kinds of other stories that feed the left wing beast, if you will.
Well, also, you got the story from right here in Texas, not far from where I am, and all the coverage is prayers aren't enough, are they? Don't we need gun control?
You believe
so you're
that?
Right. There's an agenda going on constantly.
I know. It's amazing that people would say that. That prayers aren't enough. I mean, this goes back to what Barack Obama said, that people cling to their guns and religion. I mean, that shows you where their head is, and that's where the head of the media is as well. I want to say one other thing, if I may. There's another FBI report in this book about the connection between Antifa and these violent left-wing groups and ISIS and Al-Qaeda, which is, according to the FBI, the greatest challenge to law enforcement since the 1970s and the Weather Underground.
Wow. That's saying a lot. I mean, it really is. And you've got it's an organization also that I think the Obama administration said was a domestic terrorist organization we have to keep an eye on. But we act like it's just a bunch of young millennials just trying to get their voices heard. It's Ed Klein. The name of the book is All Out War, The Plot to Destroy Trump. And the fact that those organizations are connected is something that the media won't report. I'm glad that you will. Let me ask you this. How has the president handled this onslaught since 1 year ago tomorrow? And I mean it to this end. Was he naive when he went in that the state was deeper than he thought, the swamp was thicker than he thought, or do you think he went in with his eyes open?
I don't think he, or for that matter, anybody who is elevated to the presidency has an idea of what it's really like there in the White House.
Yeah.
But in his case, unlike other presidents who have been assailed by the opposition party, if you're a Democrat, the Republicans are against you, et cetera, he's being assailed on all sides. There are even Republicans who are part of this plot to destroy him. Never Trumpers, as you know. There's the media. Then there's the Democratic Party, which is sworn to not only try to win the 2018 midterm election and get control of the House, but then to start impeachment proceedings against this president.
I've heard impeachment over and over and over again, Maxine Waters. You're right. People on the right in the Republican Party, Flake, Corker, McCain.
Sass.
Right, exactly. We've heard these people. We've seen what they're saying. But you and I both know that there is nothing impeachable here. Actually, it's not even close. I mean, Obama, I could probably list you 7 things he did that could have gotten him impeached. But we're talking about impeaching a guy because of a Russia collusion that doesn't exist. There is no obstruction of justice because Comey's a big, fat, lying liar. So what exactly is it that they're hanging their hat on? Just say the word and it'll happen?
They're hanging their hat on their delusional take on what the president has done. There are even people who say that when he okayed the Keystone Pipeline, that was an impeachable offense, which is absurd, of course.
Of course it is.
So it's a delusional thing. I mean, they're acting as though they have, for instance, he fired James Comey, the FBI director, who deserved to be fired. Now we know this more than ever. And they were going, the Democrats said, well, that's an impeachable offense. It's not. The president of the United States has every right to fire.
Right. He works for the executive. He's his boss. Right.
Exactly. So there isn't, you're absolutely right. There isn't a scintilla of evidence that Donald Trump had anything to do with the Russians during the campaign.
But is it the old plan, Ed, that if you say it, enough of America will say, well, damn, we better impeach him then. And then you'll get some sort of public support for it?
This is exactly what Donald Trump is saying when he says, the big lie. If you lie big enough and long enough and hard enough, maybe some people will come to believe it.
We're almost out of time, and I want to ask you very quickly, the name of the book, by the way, All Out War, The Plot to Destroy Trump. You must get this. Anything Ed Klein writes, you must own, and get a couple of copies for your friends. I've got to ask you about Donna Brazile. Again, you're the preeminent expert on the Clinton machine, and you've told more truth about Hillary Clinton than anybody I know, and you're unafraid, which I love. Donna Brazile. Donna Brazile is somebody who we know colluded with Roland Martin to get a question that he was going to ask at a town hall meeting that Clinton was up against Bernie Sanders. Get that question to CNN. CNN gets the question to Clinton. Clinton knows the answer before it's even asked. We know that happened. We know that she did all she could to cover for all the misdeeds and ill deeds that were happening inside the DNC. Suddenly she writes a book and she was the slave and she was afraid for her life and Seth Rich and she almost got rid of Clinton. I mean, she's like either delusional or she's done a 180-degree switch just to sell a book. Which one is the truth? And as you see what she's putting out there, what do you believe is true? What she said a year ago or what she's saying today?
As you remember, Donna Brazile's reputation was shattered by what she did by giving that question in advance to Hillary Clinton.
Right.
This book is an effort for her to redeem her reputation.
Okay.
It's not working, in my view, because I think it's just the opposite. But she's trying to say, here I am, I'm an honest person, I really tell it like it is. She's also trying to get revenge against Obama and Hillary Clinton.
Okay, very interesting. Ed Klein, go and get his book, All Out War. Your thoughts on that? 1-800-501-7080. When we come back, also Phil Robertson from Duck Dynasty. He's got a new program coming out where he's going to be unfiltered. We'll talk about it right here on The Weekend.
This is The Weekend with Joe Pags.
Great to have you. It is The Weekend with Joe Pags, 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. Make sure you stop there for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, the station list for the Monday through Friday show, and much, much more. Subscribe to the email. I'll send out an email every day, every other day, with a bunch of links to the show topics and stuff like that. No, I don't charge you for it. I just send it out to you. Aaron Watson is a country music star. He's a guy who's worked his face off for many, many years and has found a lot of success because of his talent, first and foremost. Songwriting ability is amazing. But also because he's got a level of persistence and stick-to-itiveness that I can really relate to. You have to have that to be a success at almost anything you do. And that's what this guy brings. And I really enjoyed sitting down and talking with him recently. Aaron, thanks for taking the time. How are you?
Joe, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming on today. I know how busy you are. You were just in San Antonio on Saturday, and please accept my apologies. I wish I could have stopped by, but, you know, they make me talk 6 days a week in this job. So next time, hopefully, you and I can hook up, say hello, and shake hands. I hope that'd be okay.
Yes, sir. I'd love that. I'll give you a rain check.
Perfect. I love that. All right. Again, you're taking off like crazy. And what's funny is some people see a guy like you and they say, man, he just got a lucky break, or he just stumbled upon this success. And, you know, here's a guy, all these people try so hard. It turns out, Aaron, it's about a 20-year success story, isn't it? I mean, your album, your song Underdog, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, actually encapsulates it. But for those who aren't that familiar, this was not some overnight thing, was it?
Yeah, a lot of people call me up and coming, but this took 18 years, 13 albums, and 2,500 shows.
But who's counting?
Yeah, but who's counting, right? But, you know, we're just, to be doing it this long and to be in this situation, we're just so blessed and we're so thankful, and it's just a ton of fun. I mean, at the end of the day, Joe, I mean, for me, music's not an industry. This is a family business.
Yeah.
You know, off air, I was joking, you know, telling you that you know, my goal every month is just to pay off my wife's credit card bill. And I've been telling everybody, you know, this new record, Vaquero, I mean, it's selling like hotcakes, and all the proceeds from this album go directly into my wife Kimberly's purse.
So it's a great cause. It's a special cause that people could get behind.
It's my greatest cause, taking care of my wife and my kids.
I want people to go and get the new album, Vaquero. Absolutely. And again, it's Aaron Watson. Go and follow him on Twitter. Go follow him on the Facebook. Go and see him in concert. So let's go back to the journey. And I hope you don't mind, I'm going to say this anyway. And it's funny because Ted Nugent said this about me 20 years ago. We've been friends ever since, that we're kindred spirits. And I didn't know how to take that from the Motor City Madman, but I do now, and I appreciate it. And I want to tell you that we're kindred spirits. And here's why. I started in 1989. And 28 years later, people are complaining that I just got lucky and tripped into, you know, a bunch of radio stations and being on TV. The fact is, it's about hard work, isn't it? It's about hard work. And when somebody tells you you can't do it, or you're not good enough, or forget about it, I don't know what you're thinking. What you said is what I said, and what many successful people have said is, watch me.
Well, it's the American dream, and it's the way I was raised, to work hard, to give it all you've got. I mean, it's, and I don't think anybody has the right to discourage anybody from chasing their dreams. And they told me that I couldn't. So rather than accept that, I have a healthy chip on my shoulder.
Yeah.
And I go after it to show them that I can. And, you know, our last record of The Underdog made history. It became the first independent album to chart number one on Country Billboard. We even have an exhibit at the Country Music Hall of Fame. And honestly, right now, Joe, we're in the middle of a battle right now. Our album Vaquero is another independent album,
right?
And we are going up against the mainstream music industry. I mean, I don't have $1 million budget, but what I've got is heart and hustle. And what I've also got is 18 years of treating my fans like family. And we stay true to our brand, Joe. I mean, we focus on faith, family. I've been telling people, we don't chase phases, stages, or flavors of the month. We stay true to our brand. We work hard. We ride a horse named Hustle. So, you know, it's really kind of a movement that's going on right now. And I've just been encouraging everybody, like, if you want more tradition back in your country music, if you want more cowboy back in your country music, then you have a voice. You can help us out by buying that album, Vaquero.
And I hope that everybody will go and get it. Is it out right now, or it's about to be out?
It's out right now. Right now, it's number one on iTunes country chart. It's just tearing it up across the board. And we're just excited. I wrote all 16 songs.
Beautiful.
I mean, these songs are about my family. It's about my life. It's about my kids. It's about my wife. And I'm a really, really, really normal guy. So I think the reason why my music relates to so many people is because I'm relatable.
Well, without a doubt, you're relatable. I mean, we're right here, and you are like a regular guy. But at the same time, realize that I'm thrilled to have you because you're a top artist. When I saw your videos and listened to your music and felt the songs and the stories you were telling through those songs, I felt an immediate connection, even though we'd never met. And I think that's what you just said. I mean, your fans are like family, and they get treated that way.
Well, you know, I consider myself like a small mom and pop restaurant, you know, and I want to give my fans a good atmosphere. I want to give them good service. I want to give them good food. I want to treat them like $1 billion. And that's how I've always run my business. And it's exciting to be where we're at. And what we're doing is I'm using my platform as a way to share my love for Jesus. I'm using my platform as a way to share my love for this great country that we are so blessed to live in. Right. I'm using my platform as a way to inspire all those people out there with a dream. And, you know, the first time I got turned down, Joe, I went back home and I told my dad, I said, Dad, that record executive didn't like my music. And he said, you know, that's all right. He said, they told that to Willie Nelson for years. No. And Dad said, Willie finally made it when he was 45. And at the time Dad told me this, I was 21 or 22 years old.
Yeah.
And I said, Dad, Willie made it when he was 45. And I said, so Dad, are you telling me that I'm going to have to do this for the next 20 something years to make it? And his response was this. He said, yep, if you want it bad enough.
Bam.
And at that point, I changed gears and I realized that I was going to have to get out there and I was going to have to earn it. And it's the same thing that I teach my children, Jake, Jack, and Jolie Kate. If you want it, you're going to have to go get it. You're going to have to earn it. And that's what we're doing right now. We're earning the trust and the respect of our fans, and we're looking for new fans. And you know what? We're excited about this new album, Vaquero.
Everybody go and get Vaquero. I checked out the song July in Cheyenne, and here's a little information from me. I'm a jazzer. I'm a saxophone player. I was a music major in college. That's what I do. Okay. I still play the saxophone on my show sometimes. So I'm not that much of a country guy, but I'm definitely an Aaron Watson guy. Interestingly, I was not a country guy growing up, but I love Johnny Cash. That doesn't seem to make sense, but you've got a storyteller who can grab your attention, and it doesn't really matter what the genre is, and I see that from you. When I saw this song, you know, this video, July in Cheyenne, about the fallen bull rider, holy mackerel, dude. I mean, I'm a big guy, and it was all I could do not to cry watching that. Tell me how you got inspired to write that, and man, so much feeling is put into that song.
That of all the songs I've written, Joe, that one is the most special to me, because 5 years ago, my wife and I, we lost a daughter. Her name was Julia Grace.
So sorry to hear that.
Well, thank you. That's the first song that I wrote after we lost Julia. And I was struggling. I mean, I was heartbroken, homesick. And I came across something that legendary bull rider's mother said. His name was Lane Frost.
Yeah.
And I came across something that Lane's mama said. And she said something like, Lane wasn't a world champion bull rider. She said Lane was a world champion bull rider, but that wasn't his greatest achievement.
Right.
She said Lane's greatest achievement came a year before he died when he asked Jesus to be his Lord and Savior. Mm. And when I saw how his mother used their heartache to bring others inspiration and joy, it really got me refocused on my faith and the bigger picture. And I wrote that song for her.
Well, listen, it's an amazing song, and I had no idea that there was a personal tragedy that you sort of shared with his family, and you made it a record again. Okay, I'll admit it. I teared up a little bit, okay? Whatever, Aaron, thanks. So listen, again, beautiful song, beautiful storytelling. You've seen commercial success now. We want to blow that out of the water. We want to make sure everybody goes and gets Vaquero. It's an amazing album. And again, I'm not necessarily that guy who goes and says, let me go listen to some country music. But your music is the kind of music that is so filled with humanity and with the story of life that I really, really enjoyed it. And I want to go from there to something I saw in an interview with you recently that is political. You talked about Jesus.
Yeah.
I've got my relationship with Jesus as well. And most people listening and watching do too. And I can appreciate that's first and foremost. And your family is right up there too. But politics has seeped into just about everything we do. And
you
and I are both sitting in I think you're still in Texas today. If not, you're from Texas. We've got the longest border with Mexico.
Yes, sir.
And people like you and I agree, although many watching and listening right now don't think we do. We agree that we care about human beings. We agree that we care that people have the opportunity to do better for themselves and their families. Here's where it gets all screwed up, Aaron, and you talked about this recently in that interview. What do you do about people like you and me? I've got five daughters, two of them adopted, three natural born. You've got all your children and more to come. God bless you. I'm not saying I know anything about your personal situation, but you never know. The fact is, we care about families, we care about people, we care about humanity, we care that people do better for themselves. But at the same time, if we don't have some sort of a vessel through which people can come here legally, we're in big trouble in this country. So you and I think, agree. Let's have everybody come here who wants to come here, as long as they do it the right way. But then we get into the yelling match about wall, no wall, stop them, don't stop them. And as fathers, what do we do? What do we think?
You know, it's tough being an artist. You know, a lot of times when I see these Hollywood folks start running their mouths about politics, they just reek of ignorance.
Yeah.
So a lot of times I just try to stay focused on my music. I love Billy Graham's quote, "I'm neither for the left wing or the right wing. I love the whole bird." I also say, why talk about politics when you can talk about baseball or Jesus? But what you've said, it's a fact. I mean, there has to be accountability across our borders to keep Texas safe. And unless you are living in Texas or one of the border states, you don't understand that.
Yeah, right.
And so it's a very touchy subject, but at the same time, you know, I wrote a song on my new record called Clear as a Bell, and it's about a Mexican man who lives across the border, and he brings his daughter to Texas to give her a better life. And it's addressing humanity, and I think we've got to do everything with love, grace, and mercy, and we have to have compassion for mankind. You know, it's one of those things that we've got to figure out how to make the world better for everyone on this side of the border and the other side of the border. And, you know, I have a hard enough time balancing my own checkbook, so I'm not the man who can make that call.
Yeah.
But it's you know, it's one of those things that, like, we're Texans, and by being Texans, we have Mexican brothers and sisters that live around here.
We do.
And I have friends who have – I have Hispanic friends who have family still living in Mexico. So you have to address these things with compassion, because you're talking about their blood, their family.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there absolutely has to be accountability around our borders. We cannot allow – illegal substances to just come across our border so freely. I mean, I've crossed over into Mexico so many times throughout my life, and a lot of times it's just a breeze. It's shocking how easy it is.
Right.
And you know, we're all immigrants, unless you're a Native American. You came here, your ancestors came here most likely because they wanted a better life for their families. So we've got to figure out a way how we can give that opportunity to everybody and also protect ourselves at the same time. And that's what my song Clear as a Bell does. It talks about, it's just treating each other with love and respect. And I think that's what our country's lacking. There's another song on my record called They Don't Make Them Like They Used To. And it's a call to all of us to live such good lives that someday our children and our children's children look back on us and say, they don't make them like they used to.
I love that. And the name of the record is Vaquero. I want you to go and get the album. Go download it. You say it's number one in the country on iTunes right now, right?
Sir, it's kicking some rear and
love
taking
it.
Names. And you know, I want to be the poster boy for the American dream, for that little guy, that small business guy who can achieve big things by working his rear off. And we give all the glory to God. And just this opportunity, Joe, to be on the air with you, man, does great things for us. So we're just super excited. It's important, Joe, really, really important that your listeners understand that all the proceeds from this album go straight into my wife's purse.
And listen, that's pretty amazing. I love that. Aaron Watson taking the time. I appreciate it. He's a very, very busy guy, and you're going to love his music. Go check it out. Aaron Watson is the man's name. 1-800-501-7080. JoePags.com. Stay right here. Hey, great to have you. It's the weekend with Joe Pags, 1-800-501-7080, 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. Also click on stations. You'll see the stations where I am. We're across the nation now, Monday through Friday as well. And we'd love to have you join in there. And I know that some of my my affiliates during the week are now adding us on the weekend. like Talk 960. Really glad to be on there on the weekend now. Six days a week, you people in the in the Apple Valley in the high desert. You guys get to hear me 6 days a week now. And some of you are going, oh, really? We thought Monday through Friday was enough. But yeah, glad to be on Talk 960 on the weekend now as well. And we're adding more all the time. We do the show live, and I pop it on Facebook, and I'll look over there every once in a while. I play some Pags parodies during the break sometimes, and somebody jumped on. First of all, they want to buy the album. Now, Trisha, maybe I'm missing it.
I'm sorry. Wait, what?
So they want to buy the album. Now, the last one that I played during the break is Love Yourself or something, and it was a parody of a Justin Bieber song, and most of my listeners had no clue what song I was parodying because it was popular with the young kids, you know, people like you. I thought it was particularly not a great one, but people want to buy the album. Now, it's a Saturday. I have no idea if people are drunk. So that could have been a drunk person asking you to buy the album. That could have been happening too.
They're like, "What is this great
right.
music?"
So, oh so my I, God. I peeked over, and another comment was, "All right, so you call CNN fake news. What do you consider real news?" I think it's a great question. In this day and age, I just honestly don't know that the average consumer who's busy with soccer practice and their work day and their families and dinner and everything else going on. I don't think they have time to figure out what's real and what's not. So I'm going to help you out the best I can. A show like mine, I'm not even going to say a show like mine. On my show, The Weekend with Joe Pags or The Joe Pags Show Monday through Friday, there's something that I promised to my listeners early on. It's why I think we've been pretty successful. I will always give you the source from where I got the information I'm talking about. If I'm going to read a story about a topic that I'm going to talk about, I will tell you this is from, you know, the AP, from Fox News, from Breitbart, from BuzzFeed. Here's what this writer says. And then I'll give you my opinion on it. Or I will refute what they say or rebuke what they say or give you an alternative, you know, to what you're hearing. So it's a decent question. If CNN is fake news, what do you consider real news? You tune into my show. And you're going to get the straight scoop. I'm going to tell you the real story. Then I'll give you my opinion. Then I'll tell you my thoughts on it. Or I will give you the reason why I'm refuting that or disagreeing with it. And I think, Trish, in this day and age, the media has been very, very successful in actually making fact and fiction some sort of a blurred gray line. I find that to be very weird.
That's what it is now. And so that's why it's forcing you to look at different news sources, because a lot of the times it is a blurred line.
Because you can show people, this is what happened. Here's my video showing that it happened.
Yeah,
here's the reality of it all
in
context, in its entirety. I'm not even paraphrasing. And somebody will say, yeah, well, the sky is orange. I'm like, what? So I mean, they've been successful in saying we've blurred the line so much that anything we say, people will take as fact first. And even if we have to correct it later, then we still got them from the initial hook. All right. 1-800-501-7080. 1-800-501-7080. JoePags.com. Stay here.
Across America, it's The Weekend with Joe Pags. To talk to Joe, call 800-501-7080. And now, The Weekend. Here's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com. The Blaze Radio Network. It is The Weekend with Joe Pags. Glad to have you along for the ride. Welcome to the program. Lots to get to. It's the Facebook, the Twitter, the Instagram, email, it's all right there. Also, stories that I covered during the week, Monday through Friday, the Joe Pags Show is Monday through Friday. You'll see those stories on the right-hand side on a desktop or a laptop on your device. I think you have to scroll down to see the stories. Click on them, and you can go and find out what the stories are there. Also, the stations are listed. Just click on stations, and you can find one near you. It's broken down to states. If we're not where you are, let me know, and I'll let you know if we're working on it. Kaya Jones is a great artist. She was formerly with the Pussycat Dolls and then said, you know what, I can't hide my Christianity anymore. I can't hide my love for Jesus. I can't keep on dancing around in these skimpy outfits and being a bad role model for little girls, so I'm going to make a switch. And now she owns her own record label and is out on her own, and she's a great singer. In fact, she's got a brand new song out called What the Heart Don't Know, and I'll give you a little bit of that before we get to the interview. She's also a huge supporter of Donald Trump, our president, and is unafraid to say so. Wants to make America great again and just went to Washington recently. I'll talk to her about that as well.
But the heart can't want what the heart don't know. No, the heart can't want what the heart don't know. And I feel, I'm on the outside.
Now, I've been as bold as to ask her if I could put some saxophone on the song, and I don't think she would release it, but who knows? I mean, you know, I'll send her a little saxophone track and see what she thinks. But at the same time, I do want to give you my interview with her. I caught up with her yesterday. And Kai, I always appreciate it. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Joe?
I am living the dream. Always glad to have you back on. Look, we're making a regular thing out of this, which I think is great because people love to see another side of somebody that they kind of know already, but they really didn't know at all. And you're not afraid to put it right out there on Twitter, in your music, all of that.
Well, we've become friends, you know? I think me and you have become friends. Certain people, you become more than just doing an interview. We become friends.
Well, and I appreciate that. We actually now have each other's phone numbers, and I think that does cross into the friend zone because a lot of the guests that I have on would never, ever give me their phone numbers. So I think that that's important.
Why not?
I don't know. I have no idea. All right. So let's get down to it. Since we spoke last, you've been in the recording studio. You claim to be sick. You sound great to me. You look great to me. So I'm not buying it. But you've been in the studio all hours of the night. And it's really exciting because either this weekend or early next week, you're releasing your new single, right?
Yeah, it went out to all the stores. And so each store has their own time frame. So for sure, next week, it will be available everywhere.
Okay.
But by this weekend, it should be available on some channels.
And it's called What the Heart Don't Know.
That's right.
Is it just basically a love song? Is there a deeper meaning? What's going on with that song?
There always is a deeper meaning, isn't there?
There is. Yes.
I mean, there always is. It's like, why? You got to Taylor Swift that stuff sometimes.
Yeah, well, you do. But Taylor Swift is actually in the news for something else that we probably don't want to talk about. But have you? I was going to ask you about this anyway. Did you see that whole picture thing? The whole controversy going on with her?
Which one?
I'm going to fill you in. There was a DJ in Denver that did a meet and greet with Taylor Swift after one of her concerts.
Yeah.
And he got fired afterwards because she said that he grabbed her rear end. It's in court now. He's like suing, trying to get his job back, and she's testifying. Yeah, yeah. And it's pretty amazing testimony. Like the guy.
A while ago, though.
Well, it did. You're right. It did happen a while ago, but it's actually in court right now. It's a very, very strange situation. I feel for you and for any other artist out there. Do you have to keep your antennas up, Kaya? Do you have to keep your eyes out because you're a great looking human being? You're extremely talented. And sometimes when people get access to you, will they try to cross the line?
100%. I've had everything from a breach in my dressing room in South Africa with a fan with a camera.
Wow.
Luckily, I beat him up with the door.
There you go.
I beat him up with the door. Yeah, because I was half naked and he came in with a camera.
Not good.
No, and we had just a security breach. It was just one of those weird moments where your security guard steps away for a second. And so they took his camera. They smashed it. They asked if I wanted to press charges. I said no. There was no need to do that. But I've also had where a fan has punched me in the chest.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what's the story? I mean, what's wrong with these people?
I wasn't even talking about Trump. Can you imagine? I was just doing a show, and afterwards, the guy just came up and started tapping me on my chest, and I went like that, and he just punched me in my chest.
Wow. Did he get arrested? Did he get taken away?
The venue didn't handle it the way that they could have, but they tried their hardest to handle it the way that they needed to. But of course, I mean, it is what it is. That's why you always have your own security.
Oh, right. Well, it's a scary situation. Now, you know, I do talk, and sometimes it's controversial. So I make sure that my Second Amendment is always being recognized wherever I go. But having said that, I can't imagine because, you know, you don't do controversial talk radio. I mean, you are a little controversial on Twitter. We'll get into that in a second. Yeah. But you're out there entertaining. You're out there singing and dancing and just bringing some joy to people through music. I can't imagine why somebody snaps and wants to make it something different. So I'm glad you're okay. But just mentioning Taylor Swift made me think about that entire situation. Let me get back to the song.
Yeah.
What the Heart Don't Know, it's I think it's an exposition of how great your voice really is. Now, with the Pussycat Dolls, we heard how great your voice was, but those were more upbeat. Let me do some dancing and let's wear some, you know, a very small outfit.
Flat outfit.
Right, right. Exactly. Well, this is really like from the soul. I really love what you do with this. Was there a reason why you decided to go, let's go slower, let's go more melodic? Was there just you wanted to show what you had there?
No, you know, it came down to I'm kind of in this confessional situation of speaking my truth honestly for the first time. And it just felt correct that if I was going to record again, if I was going to sing again, that it needed to be pure and it needed to have integrity and it needed to show really who I am in a very raw way.
Yeah.
And not all about big vocals, because I can do that, and not always about big beats, just about simplicity and connecting with the audience and bare, minimal, really live instrumentation. All of those are completely live instruments that are being played by some incredible human beings. So I'm really grateful that I had people come together that wanted to help me make that happen.
I played some of it before we went to break, and I don't think there are any drums at all, right?
No.
So I just, and again, it's flowing. It's got a great beat, although it's a slower, more melodic thing. Yeah. I think it's great.
It's piano, cello, violins. Yeah, there's no drama.
And I think it's great. Let's go politics. You went to Washington since we spoke last, and and you're out there rallying and wearing the Trump shirts and the Make America Great signs, and you're meeting with the people in the administration. Tell me about the adventure.
Oh my gosh. Well, I've now been back twice since I last saw you. So the first time, I think you were going on your vacation, right?
Right. I was leaving,
and I was excited. So that first trip was amazing. I was going to do my NASA stuff and meet with some of the different educational people with the, you know, all of the education side of science that I'm into. So that was really what I was spearheading. And all of a sudden, you know, Hannity came up, you know, could I go to Washington and film? And
By the way, you did great on Sean's show. You did really great there.
No, so it was awesome. It was really cool. I got to do that, and I kind of stumbled into Sebastian Gorka, and I was like, oh, I was kind of like deer in headlights, like so nervous, because I geek out with significant people, and he's very significant.
Oh, he is. Dr. Gorka is great. We've had him on several times. I had him on like a week and a half ago. He's a guy that will not mince words, but then he's got that cool accent, so it doesn't even feel like he's insulting you when he is.
No, I mean, he's insulting you in the highest form of regard, right?
Exactly.
So I kind of just was like, oh my gosh, and deer in headlights. And, you know, we connected, and he asked if I would like to, you know, join his family with my friend and come to the White House for the 4th of July celebrations. And I was just like, are you kidding? Of course.
That's awesome.
Which was amazing. And I think a lot of American people need to know that weren't there. It was really played down. There was no big entertainers as far as names are concerned. It wasn't this massive show of fireworks. You know, POTUS and FLOTUS came out. They said their respects to our servicemen and women, our veterans, and our wounded warriors. And so that was really their focus. And the remaining time was for all of us to just mingle and have a good time. So our tax dollars are being spent correctly.
She is at Kaya Jones on Twitter, at KayaJones on Twitter. You've got a very big following, and it's growing every day. But you and I both know that if you went left, and if you went Hollywood and big music and said the things that the left wants you to say, you probably would be held up on a higher pedestal. I think you deserve to be held up as high as possible because you're very talented. But what went into the decision to expose to your fans and to the public that you do support this president, you do support conservatism, you are somebody who has a relationship with your Lord, and you're not afraid to put it out there? How did all that come together? Because you know that had you stayed on the path with the Pussycat Dolls, you probably could have, you know, 4 million followers on Twitter, but it would be fake to you.
Well, that's the whole thing, is that this whole time in this industry, I have been false. That's the key, is that was never really who I was. Every time I wanted to show who I was or sing music that was more about who I am, it was not encouraged. I didn't have friends in Nashville to say, hey, come down here, girl. We have like a whole camp that agrees with your side of the fence. It was really pushed onto me to be something I wasn't for so long that, you know, this past running of the candidates and paying attention, finally being really aware of politics, you know, it was something that was I wanted to start talking about, I wanted to start speaking about. And when I realized that were so many of my friends that were a part of the exact same feeling and they felt that same way, that gave me a great push to say, I can do this too. You know, this doesn't have to be, you're by yourself, you're not alone, you can do this. And I've actually received so much of a warmer welcome than I ever could from the other side. The other side, I mean, I've lost, you know, I have a children's brand, the company that I've been in business with for 5 years, you know, a really great store, but they're independent. They let me know that that I'm no longer welcome there, that my brand is no longer welcome there. Yeah. So that was hard. That was hard to swallow. I think it was harder on the fact that I become friends with everyone there.
Yeah.
And what was said to me, you know, was pretty much, have you lost your mind? We think you've gone a little crazy.
And all you've done, Kaya, is support the president of the United States.
And say that I love Jesus. That's what I've done. My God.
How's it controversial?
It's not. But apparently it is in this time and era. And that's scary to know that just being someone of a good moral backing, you know, is looked at as filth. That's a horrible, horrible narrative to receive. And that's what really hurt, was hearing that it wasn't my brand sales weren't good or that the company wasn't strong. It was to hear that my choice as a human being was so offensive to people that it doesn't affect, you know, and how much that store supports Planned Parenthood and supports anti-Trump rhetoric.
Openly, they
said this to me.
It's so weird. So the internal struggle, I'm guessing, was, I mean, when you were younger, and you're still young, but the internal struggle had to be massive. I can go mainstream and get in line and wear the skimpy outfits and dance around like this and do what they want me to do. And I can probably find whatever stardom I want. Or I can hold strongly to my values and my morals, and Jesus will take me where he wants me to go anyway.
Yeah, I had one foot in heaven and one foot on earth. I mean, that was pretty so private. Everything was private. Even with men that you date in the business, you know, like being a young girl and having a boyfriend and that boyfriend not being okay with what you believe either. And feeling like, wow, like, I guess I'm just really weird. You know, that's kind of what I felt. I felt like I was weird in some way or different, that I didn't fit somehow. And I didn't understand why, when I would talk about doing things for the military or the VA and visiting our men and women or going over to Iraq or any of those things, it was always very negative.
And it's all righteous stuff, but you're not in line with Planned Parenthood and you're not in line with the far left radical agenda. Therefore, there must be something wrong with you. We can't believe this happened to you. So sorry we can't do business with you as you're doing all these great righteous things. I mean, it's such a contradiction to what people like you and I, you know, were brought up believing in, a Judeo-Christian value system that, I mean, it's very strange where we are today.
Well, it's what everyone says, you know, when they say the industry, they say is like, you know, it's really dark or it's really dirty. It's really all those things. And it actually proved to be the side that I was on, where, you know, I didn't want to use drugs and that was offered daily from when I was 16 years old and saying no and realizing that when you say no, you're not a team player. And you can feel that from them.
It's amazing.
Can actually feel that. So it was kind of shocking to finally speak my complete truth, be completely honest, and receive such a warm welcome of people that are like, we're here, you know, it's okay. That was incredible to me. And I mean, I don't know if it would have had that impact had I just gone into that right away, where I feel like there's a reason I came out of that very big machine of conglomerates that push things onto our youth. And hopefully my voice can help younger generations not make the same mistakes, because you don't have to. You actually can just find the right people.
I think without a doubt, your voice already has made a difference and it's going to continue to. Kaya, thank you so much for taking the time. It's at Kaya Jones, K-A-Y-A Jones on Twitter. Go and find her there. Your website is kayajones.com as well, right?
Yeah.
Go to the website. Go ahead.
One thing that was really cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So when I went to Washington, I went to Arlington as a visitor, and I found out while I was there that my great-grandfather is buried there.
Wow, and you didn't know?
I didn't know. Because of my Native American side of the family, that's been a very secret thing. Everything's very hidden. But I had already known everything about our family on that side. I just didn't grow up on the reservation. I didn't grow up with him.
Yeah.
So it was really revealing. And then it actually opened up me finding out from my family directly, yes, it is him. And you know, you should go back a heck of a lot more. So it actually bridged a gap as just being a normal patron visiting Arlington.
That's amazing that you found that out. Your heritage is pretty amazing, too. We'll get into that even more next time. We've got to run. I know that you've got to run. You've got to rest your voice. That's for sure. We just love your music. We love that you've taken the time. And I'm really, really privileged to have you as a friend. Thank you, Kaya.
I adore you, Joe. Thank you.
Back after this on the weekend. Stay here. Hi, great to have you. Welcome. It is the weekend with Joe Pags, 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. That's joepags.com. Go there and follow on Twitter. You could like the page on Facebook. You can click on the Instagram. I haven't done the Instagram in a while. You do the Instagram a lot, right, Trisha?
The Instagram? I like how you
do. You like the Instagram more than the Snapchat, or right?
Yeah, I like the Instagram better than the Snapchat.
What's the difference? The Snapchat is just it's just long videos, and then too much crap going on, isn't there?
It just goes away after 24 hours. After 24 hours. That's what, and then it disappears.
But on Instagram, you can actually do some of that snappy doodah stuff too, but you don't have to. You can actually leave the video up there all the time, or you could do the one that expires in a day too, right?
I think so. Actually, I think Instagram, see, everybody's trying to like one-up each other, so all the apps are like, it's the same thing with Facebook.
Remember MySpace went away because Facebook showed up and kicked its ass.
I know.
Will a lot of these other ones go away, or are they all going to stick around?
I have no idea, and really, I could care less.
Because you like what you like, and that's it. Because I see you on Facebook and on Instagram.
You know what's going to happen is I don't care now, and then something's going to go away, and I'm going to be like, okay, wait, now I do care.
That's what you get for not caring.
I know. I'll make up my mind one of these.
But if you want, you go to the Instagram. You can follow me. I don't post much at all. Maybe I'll post some pictures on there today or something. But 1-800-501-7080, 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. Stay here. Hey, great radio stations everywhere. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, the Blaze Radio Network. Do me a favor. Stop by social media, Facebook.com/JoeTalkShow. Twitter.com/JoeTalkShow or @JoeTalkShow, and also Instagram. Facebook, I generally will post longer stories. On Twitter, it's more of a back and forth during the shows generally. And also just short and sweet, right directly to the point stuff. And on Instagram, cheesy gym photos. And maybe a sunset, maybe my pets, maybe some family pictures. So I really do try to use them for different reasons. So make sure you stop at all the social media. Joe Talk Show is the handle. Got a chance to talk to the House Ways and Means Committee Chair, Kevin Brady, the other day. He, of course, is the guy that wrote, backed, marked up the tax plan. Tax reform has now passed in the House of Representatives. I talked to him right before it passed. Okay, so you'll have that for perspective. It hasn't passed the Senate yet. You're hearing from some pretty conservative senators that, well, we're looking at it. We're not really sure yet. But I wanted to get the nuts and bolts of it. I wanted to get some answers to the questions that are being raised by liberals. Kevin, I appreciate you coming on. How's it going?
Hey, Joe, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
Hey, it's always an absolute pleasure. As you know, a week and a half ago, I'm sitting in the White House. I don't know how I got there. Kevin, I don't know how that happened. But out of 5,000 talk show hosts, I was one of five invited. So,
wow.
Congratulations. Thank you. I think I mentioned your name, and the president was like, well, we got to have him then. we're in the East Room, and I'm sitting there with the president of the United States. And, boy, he's just glowing about what he thinks this tax plan will do. And, I mean, literally beaming like he's a proud daddy about it. So let's break it down. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 tax brackets right now. This new plan will give us how many?
Go to 4 tax brackets. And we take the bottom one to actually to 0. And so that gives us tax relief at every income level.
Let's talk about tax brackets. The left is saying, and Schumer was giving Pinocchios about this, but
yep.
The left is saying that you're taking the 10 and 15% tax brackets and you're screwing them and you're making them both pay higher. They're saying actually 0 to 10% will now pay 12%. Is that true?
No, absolutely not true. In fact, we take the 10% bracket and make it 0%. And we double the standard deduction, which means we protect more of the first dollars that families earn. In fact, this is exactly, I always like to point out to my Democrat friends, this is exactly what President Reagan did as well, backed by Vice President Biden, Vice President Gore, and other Democrats as well. So they know this issue. They're just distorting it.
So 10% now goes to zero. When we say we double the standard deduction, Kevin, can you, in layman's terms, explain that to my viewers and listeners? What does that even mean?
Yeah, so bottom line is we get to protect a certain amount of money tax-free from Uncle Sam. That's a good thing. Today, it's about $6,000 a person and around $11,000 for a married couple.
Okay.
So we double that to $12,000 and $24,000 that is tax-free from the government. We fold in the personal exemptions, and then we create a family tax credit. So bottom line is a lot of not just modest income, middle-income families, one, get their tax cuts up front, and secondly, will no longer have to itemize. In fact, I think 95% of Americans will be able to file using the simple postcard-style system and won't have to itemize to get their tax cuts.
It's the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, Kevin Brady. You know, and that's exciting. But I think that when we say things like double the standard deduction and the
people don't know.
Well, we're busy working and stuff. So trying to break that down doesn't make a lot of sense. The left is saying the middle class is not getting a tax break at all. In fact, if you look at the secret taxes that are in this thing, which I'm not sure what the secret ones are, the middle class is seeing an increase to pay for a tax break for the rich. Do you even have to respond to that? Because it's just dumb.
No, you can't even make that stuff up. In fact, Joint Committee on Taxation says the opposite, that there's very strong middle-class tax relief in here because there's a couple things we do. First, we do protect more of those first dollars you earn. We lower the tax brackets and rates at every level. We create this new family tax credit that is not just bigger, but doubles in number of Americans who can use it. And we get rid of things like the alternative minimum tax. That's that second tax that Uncle Sam uses to get you. And so all that results in very strong tax relief for the middle class.
It's Kevin Brady, House Ways and Means Committee Chair. He's marking this thing up and getting it done. We're going to talk about how you're ahead of schedule in a second. But other accusations from the left is, and I've never understood this, and Kevin, I think last time we spoke, we discussed this. Why is it that the lie that you have to pay for tax breaks even exists? I mean, I'm just a dumb guy. You know that. You've known this for years. I'm kind of a dumb guy. But if you tell me I get to keep more of my money and the government is going to get less of my money right off the bat, that doesn't tell me that I have to pay for my tax cut. It means I get to keep my money and the government needs to spend less money, no?
It is your money, and that's our point of this. And it's also your time. You know, the amount of time people spend to do their taxes is just continues to grow and grow and grow. And so we want a tax code that's respectful of people's time, that is simple and fair and flat. And think about this. Can you imagine a code so fair and simple that each of us knows what each other's deductions are?
Right.
Because we have exactly the same ones. And we're really pushing for that type of simplicity. And by the way, in Texas, for example, where I live, look, this will create over 80,000 new jobs. And a family of four in my community, two teachers, will save over $2,000 a year, which Washington thinks isn't much. But I'll tell you, for families, you know, that's important. You can do a lot with that type of tax cut.
It is. It's Kevin Brady, House Ways and Means Committee Chair. Always appreciate the time. Where are we getting the number $1,180 to every taxpayer?
Yeah, so
because immediately we get that number,
right? The average household in America makes about $59,000 a year. So that it varies from state to state and area to area, but for that family, they get a average tax cut of about $1,100. You know, a small business person on Main Street just making $60,000, they see a $3,000 tax cut. So this really drives toward those modest and middle-income families and local businesses in a big way.
As I was talking to the president and to Kellyanne Conway and to Cliff Sims and all these other folks at the White House, they were saying it really effectively will be more like $4,000 or even $5,000. Where are they getting that? It sounds like that repatriation of money has something to do with that.
Yeah, it really does. So we're not banking on tax relief alone.
Yeah.
We're talking about raising paychecks, growing paychecks. They've been stagnant for a decade. So every economist looks at what we're doing here, how it grows the economy, vaults America back into the lead pack worldwide. And companies like in Texas who compete and win worldwide, today we block them from bringing their dollars back to be
right.
reinvested in our country. Here we open it up. It's a zero tax rate. So you know, economists estimate that not only do you get tax cuts, your paychecks increase. And in Texas, they expect just the median household will get to, we'll see an extra $2,500 a year in higher paychecks. And so it's got two big benefits for families.
It's Kevin Brady, House Ways and Means Committee Chair, Republican, the great state of Texas, District 8. So with this money coming back, did I just hear you right? 0% tax? Now, they're already paying tax in the country where they are.
Yeah.
So we're not going to tax them on top of that.
We tax ours here. We tax them abroad. We punish them to bring them back to America.
Well, as it stands today,
stop
Kevin,
doing that.
If they were to bring it back today without this tax reform bill that you're heading, it would be 35% on top of what they've already paid?
Yeah, and well, less what they pay in the other country. Bottom line is they don't bring it back; they leave it outside. And why do we do that?
Do we know how much that money is? Is it
$4 trillion? Last time I asked for an estimate last year is $2.5 trillion. Okay. My guess is the president thinks it's well over $3 trillion.
He said
dollars
four.
Of
he
American
said four to me. Yeah,
stranded overseas.
He thought it might be four. It's Kevin Brady, House Ways and Means Committee Chair. I've got to ask you this because it's confusing for people. I think I get it. Wages, as you said, have been stagnant. They've increased, I think, 0.1% in the past 8 to 10 years, while profits for corporations have gone up 11%. 11% by all this regulation, all this Obamanomics. So now with this tax reform, the people who are against it, who don't understand it, are saying, why wouldn't the corporation just keep all the extra money? Why are they going to share the wealth? Why are they going to give it to the wages or hire more people or expand their businesses? What's the impetus? What is the what are we doing in this tax reform plan that will be the incentive for businesses to reinvest that in their people, research, development, and more?
Yeah, so look, profits don't drive paychecks. Productivity does, and in business investment. And that's our problem. That's a missing ingredient. You know, businesses have not been investing in local plants, equipment, software, technology that really drives workers' paychecks. They've been cutting expenses. They've been investing elsewhere. So what we're, this whole tax reform plan for businesses is saying invest now, invest here in America, and invest in the type of equipment and technology that allows your workers to be more productive. That's what creates paychecks, and this is why this is so different than Obamanomics and all these other things where they just say, Washington, spend more. Here we're saying, look, local businesses will tax you less, invest more, and that's a big difference.
House Ways and Means Committee Chair Kevin Brady, we always appreciate the time. As you know, we're heard and we're listened or we're viewed all across the nation. So in California and New York, they're saying Kevin Brady and Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell want to punish Californians and New Yorkers who don't vote their way because in high tax states, there are people with big mortgages and people who have higher income who are, they feel are being taxed unequally. Is that true?
You know, I don't think so, and here's why. I think the current tax code double taxes people. It raises taxes on every American, regardless of what income level they're at. So some can get a state and local deduction.
Yeah.
And so the current tax code, basically, we all have high taxes and we subsidize each other. Rural communities subsidize cities,
right.
Middle income higher, low tax states higher. So we have a simple proposal. Why don't we stop doing that? Why don't we lower tax rates for everybody and you just pay your own taxes, so local tax. So for the first time, Washington doesn't punish you or reward you based on where you live. It's a big change, but it's a fairness issue. And in those high tax states, by the way, California, New York, they still see tax cuts because we're lowering those rates.
And why don't they complain to their state leaders to lower their own taxes as it is? I mean,
well,
they're being taxed so much already.
That's the key. Look, we're Look, the biggest problem here is those local mayors and governors are really pushing for themselves to be able to continue to increase local taxes. That's the problem.
This broke right before we started speaking. The Senate says now it wants the Obamacare individual mandate gone as part of the tax reform bill. Can that happen?
Yes, it can, and I'm encouraged by the fact they believe they can add it and keep it in the Senate. So far, they haven't produced any health care related reforms. This would be very encouraging if they could put this in. It's certainly in the House side. There's a lot of interest in adding it at some point. Certainly the president, who visits with me regularly, would like to see this happen too.
Now, I know that you've got to run. Last question on this. Before we started doing the interview today, you said you're a little bit ahead of schedule. The president would like to have this signable by Christmas. It looks like you might be able to convene or think about convening between the Senate and the House by Thanksgiving. Is that a reach?
Yeah, so we intend to move it out of the House this week, and in fact, we thought we would begin work tomorrow on it. We're going to start here in the next few minutes to start that whole process. The Senate's going to take it up next week. So yes, right after Thanksgiving, we're going to start to work the differences out between the House and the Senate. Our goal is to get to the President's desk by Christmas.
Are you apprehensive that it's going so smoothly, Kevin?
Well, it is. This is a big challenge,
yeah.
And so we've still got a lot of improvements. And Joe, look, we're Republicans. We think you improve things every step of the way,
right?
And even on the House bill, I think we can continue to improve it. So I'm excited about us moving it out of the House for the first time in 31 years.
He's a great representative, been a friend of mine for a long time. Thank you so much for coming on the show for all these years. And thanks for the insight on this. I think there were a lot of questions that you just answered for my viewers and my listeners that they weren't getting anywhere else. Kevin, I appreciate you.
No, thanks, Joe. Take care. Let's stay close on this, okay?
Yeah, we will, and we always appreciate Kevin Brady taking the time. It is, he's the House Ways and Means Committee Chair. He's the guy, so he's in the know. And by the way, the House has passed this. It's passed the House of Representatives. Now you got to get it through the Senate. Did we answer your questions? If you still have some, I can try. I mean, not him, but 1-800-501-7080. 1-800-501-7080. JoePags.com. Stay here. Hey, great to have you. It's the weekend with Joe Pags, 1-800-501-7080. JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. Love to have you. Facebook, it's Facebook.com/Joe Talk Show. Zuck hates when you add my page, when you like the page. Also, Jack and the others over at Twitter hate when you add me. They're at Joe Talk Show. And Instagram, I don't know if they like it or hate it, but I put some pictures on there sometimes. Joe Talk Show. Already had a guy on Twitter say, oh, she's leaving? I love her voice.
Oh, that's nice.
And I was like, you know what? My response was, shut up. She doesn't care.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
Wow, you
that's
are a,
bun- my stand-
you are
my
a bundle
answer.
Of sunshine, aren't
did
you?
Did you tell the people what my response was to you writing me an email yesterday?
Yeah, and actually, I showed my parents, too. I believe it was, no, 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 nada, no, not happening. And I was like, okay.
I think there was a nunca. I think there was a zilch.
Yeah, yeah.
Zero, not happening.
Yeah, it was there. Yeah.
I actually spelled out the words which is not easy to do.
Yeah, you did do that. You did, and it's not. You're not making this easy on me,
During
man.
During the break, I called Chicago. They said that you're no longer welcome.
Oh, so, oh, okay, just like that.
You're welcome. It's what I do.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So already the Twitter is ablaze.
Oh.
With the idea with you leaving. They're not happy about it. They're
just
not
happy. Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to keep it real, Pepe.
Oh, great. Great.
Now, do you say Pepe or Pepe?
I say Pepe, but you can say Pepe if you want. My friend, she's like, put a little Pepe in your stepe. There you go. You can okay. have that. You're is like, she, and she, but, we're but, turning your mic off, Trish.
But she's no longer your friend, though, right? Because you're going to Chicago. You're just turning your back on everybody.
Okay.
1-800-501-7080. 1-800-501-7080. All right. So the bottom line for me is very simple. We are overtaxed. We are taxed way too much. We need to be able to keep more of the money that we earn. If you go and get a job for $50,000 a year and you only take home, 30, it's not okay. or 35 or 40 or whatever. It's not okay. I agreed to 50. Why does the government automatically get a huge chunk of that? It doesn't make any sense. Plus, you got sales tax. Plus, you got property tax. You got all these taxes. We're overtaxed like crazy. I'm always going to be, for people paying less taxes or fewer taxes. Always. No matter what. Everybody should get a tax break. I don't want to hear that because you make a certain amount of money, you don't deserve to keep more of your money. That doesn't make any sense to me. So I'm always going to be for tax breaks, lower taxes for everybody. When you've got the top 1% paying 40% of all taxes, make sure that you really let that sink in. Because everybody who wants to hate on the top 1%, they pay 40% of all taxes. The top 10% pays over 70. So that means the 90% below the top 10, so the lower 90%, the huge chunk of America, pays 30%? Really? Or even less than that? So let's get our heads on straight here. If you're believing the big media that you should hate that people who are top wage earners or those who are wealthy are getting a tax break, you should want them to get a tax break because that means everybody's getting a tax break. We already outlined it. From 7 brackets to 4, the lowest bracket goes to 0. Everybody gets to double the initial tax-free money that we get. And this is all good. But yes, there are complaints out there that somehow, and this has never made any sense to anybody, and you can never, ever call in and make sense to me about this, but those who are saying that we're taking from the middle class and from the poor and giving it to the wealthy, I think you should be drug tested. Because the poor, by definition, don't have any money. So how are you going to take from the poor and give it to the rich people? It just doesn't make sense. Yet people are buying it. 1-800-501-7080, JoePags.com. Stay here.
Across America, it's the weekend with Joe Pags. To talk to Joe, call 800-501-7080. And now, the weekend. Here's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, all the social media there, plus the Blaze Radio Network. It's the weekend with Joe Pags. Hopefully you're enjoying your family, your friends, some incredible food on this Thanksgiving weekend. I wanted to talk to Professor Carol M. Swain from Vanderbilt University. Ever since I saw her in the movie Hillary's America, Dinesh D'Souza's movie, The Secret History of the Democratic Party. We'd been going back and forth, and she was on vacation, and I was away and whatever, but we were able to figure it out, and she's got a story that is one that it'll make you think, because, you know, we all think that we have rough times in our lives. We all think, oh, you know, this barricade and that flaming hoop I had to jump through and this bump and bruise and, you know, I didn't have enough money for that or whatever. But then you hear her story of growing up in a household with 12 children, didn't really have a means to go to the bathroom. You never really knew where the money was going to be or where the food was going to be on any given day. An abusive stepfather in the family. And somehow she got herself out of that situation and has become an incredible success. And to add to all of that, also has a very real view of our actual history in this country. You know, the history that the Democrat Party was the party of racism and Jim Crow and lynchings and the KKK and so on. She's a conservative and also happens to be black, which is not, which is kind of rare, although not as rare as it used to be. So I want to start it. I wanted to start with her and Professor, we appreciate you coming on. How does that little girl that went through those struggles in rural America end up being the success that we have here today?
You know, I believe, in Providence, I'm a strong believer. I was not always a strong believer. So there's a part of me that believes in that. But I knew as a child, I felt that I was supposed to do something. And I never felt comfortable in the poverty and the misery that was around me. And so that was a part of how I experienced being a child. but I always believed in America. And so when I studied civics, I believed in the American dream. I knew I lived in the greatest country in the world. And even though, you know, I'm living in the rural South, house without indoor plumbing, no one in my family had ever gone to college. And as it is, I'm the only one of 12 that actually reached college. But I always believed that I worked hard enough that I could make something of myself. But I never set out to become a university professor. You know, I stepped out at some point, you know, after a failed marriage to get a job outside the home. I got a high school equivalency because I was a high school dropout, went to a community college, and then one door led to another. But people came into my life, and those people steered me in a direction that resulted in me getting the higher education. And no matter what we hear about role models, and they have to look like you, my role models did not look like me. They were not the same race. They were usually not the same gender, but they were the ones that inspired me, and they kept telling me I could. You know, there were times I wanted to stop, but I had so many people that was that were encouraging me, and that's how I did it. Before I became a person of faith, God put people in my life, and they steered me, and whatever was in me, they sort of brought the best out.
store.bethepeopletv.com is the website that I have up in front of me. You've got all the books there, the audio form and the book form. Also, go and follow the professor online. Just search Professor Carol M. Swain, and you'll find her on social media. And again, I'm going to link to it as well. Your story is one that is exemplary, and people can learn from it. But one part that jumped out at me, and I'm kind of jaded. I've been in this business a long time, and people will say flattering things to you all the time. What a great voice. You've got a great look. And then behind the scenes, you know, they're laughing or lying, or maybe they weren't really as positive about you, but to your face, they would say it. What jumped out at me in your story, as well as so much more, was that somebody flattered you. Somebody said something nice to you. Somebody said something that made you feel good about yourself and filled you up with self-esteem. And I learned something from that, doctor, because I don't believe in false flattery, but it doesn't sound like it was for you. So when that happened, did you believe it when the person said it to you? And what did it mean to you?
Well, first of all, is that I believe, and then the Bible says that life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Yeah.
So when we speak to people, we can speak life over them or we can speak death. And in that particular case, the first person who changed my life was a medical doctor. I reconnected with him about 3 months ago, and he had not heard from me in 30 years.
Wow.
I finally contacted him to let him know what became of me. But I was doing suicide gestures, taking bottles of pills, and not really seriously trying to kill myself. In fact, I can remember telling doctors that I was smart enough to know how to kill myself, that if I really wanted to kill myself, I wouldn't have so many failures.
Right.
And so I was doing these suicide gestures. We know sometimes people die while they're doing this.
Yeah.
And that doctor told me that I was intelligent, I was attractive, I could do more with my life. And I had forgotten that there was a time when I was really smart, when I was in elementary school. And so because of the conversation with him, that started the process. I got my high school equivalency. I took a job outside the home. I was working in a nursing home, and one of the orderlies said, "You ought to go to college. I go to college with a lot of people who are not as smart as you are. You ought to go to college." And then I checked, and I learned that I could go to a community college with a GED. And I got started, and the rest is history. And so I don't
believe. Well, it is. It's amazing because you are obviously incredibly intelligent, attractive. I mean, all of that is true. But I think sometimes in society, we think to ourselves, she should already know that. And if she doesn't know that, it's her problem. And I think that as we progress in the digital age especially, we don't even have sort of this human-to-human interaction like you and I are having right now. It brings up a funny story, which has nothing to do with anything, but I'm going to relate it to you anyway, because I think that you'll get where I'm going. I was sitting at a stoplight yesterday, and there was a guy next to me. He had his leather chaps on. He's on a Harley-Davidson motorcycle, a beautiful motorcycle. And most people looked at that guy and said, look at that guy in a motorcycle, and he's dirty from the wind of the road, and he's got this motorcycle, and he probably is no good. And I rolled down my window in my fancy little car, and I said, "Man, nice bike." And he and I had a conversation about Chevy Camaros and about motorcycles and about what a nice day it was. I mean, normally, doctor, we wouldn't reach out at all and say a damn word to anybody anymore. And just that one little interaction made my day. Hopefully it made his day a little bit better. And that's sort of what you're relating, right?
Yeah, you know something, I really do believe in the power of words to change lives. And as a university professor, and you may not know this, but I'm taking early retirement as of August 15th.
Did not know that.
Yeah, but I'm not going off into the wilderness or anything like that. What I plan to do is to, you know, continue writing, write my memoir, right. Do public speaking, and also to encourage conservative students to stand up and sort of fight back. But as I'm telling you this, I'm kind of forgetting.
No, as we were saying, it's the power of just a couple of simple words. Just human interaction.
Right. With many students and people that I meet traveling, I do encourage people, and I strike up conversations with small children, and I just naturally do that. And I used to be terribly shy, but I'm not shy anymore. You know, I probably talk too much. But I do believe that words change lives, and that sometimes I can see things in people that they cannot see in themselves. And I think the people who told me I was intelligent, who were encouraging me, that those people had no idea. Like when I contacted that medical doctor, he said he remembered me. He often wondered what happened to me, but he doesn't remember our conversation.
But you do. I mean, it was one that stuck with you for every second of those 30 years.
It changed my life, and I thought about him often. I thought about calling him, and it was like a contract in my house, a really rough blue-collar guy.
Yeah.
And I showed him the video, and he said, "Did you ever tell that doctor?" And I said, "No." He said, "You have to tell him. You have to tell him." And I picked up the phone that week, 2 days later, and I called the doctor, and I told him. But I didn't have the courage to pick up the phone until the contractor encouraged me to do it.
It is Dr. Carol M. Swain, and I want you to find her on all the social media, Facebook and Twitter. Just look up Professor Carol M. Swain. I'll also link to it. Her latest book is called Abduction. What is the subtitle on it?
How Liberalism Steals the Hearts and Minds of Our Children.
I want to jump into that because in the movie Hillary's America, Dinesh goes through a list of things: Jim Crow, slavery, lynchings, segregation, the whole idea, the projects, the slums, compartmentalizing people depending on their skin color. That was all done by one political party. And in this day and age, the millennials believe that party was the Republicans and Donald Trump. And in reality, that party was what? Her answer when we come back. It's Carol M. Swain, professor, doctor at Vanderbilt University. Really just a great mind, a great success story, and somebody who is a believer in the American dream, rightfully so. Her answer to that: what party did all that stuff? When we come back on this Thanksgiving weekend special edition, stay here. All right, glad to have you. It's the weekend with Joe Pags, talking with Dr. Carol M. Swain. Just asked her, KKK, Jim Crow, Project Slums, segregation, eugenics. What party did all that stuff?
It was the Democratic Party, but the Democratic Party has been so skillful in convincing, you know, much of America that the Republican Party has their history. That is, the Republicans that did everything that they did. And so, you know, for myself, I was a Democrat most of my life, and I did not join the Republican Party until 2009, but I left the Republicans in 2000 and became an independent. Okay. And it took me a while to make that transition. So a lot about the history of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, you know, I've learned it in the last 10, 15 years because I never focused on it before.
Well, when you tell people the things that you and I just talked about, they don't believe you. If I post on Twitter or Facebook that the KKK was the military arm of the Democratic Party, people think I'm nuts. They call me a racist or ethnocentric or white privilege or whatever the hell it is that I'm suffering from today. And the reality is, that's what that party was. The reality is, the president in the White House was showing overtly racist movies that featured the KKK, and it was a Democrat.
You don't have to go that far back, because if you go back to the 1960s with the Civil Rights Act, the Civil Rights Acts of the 1960s, it was the Democrats who fought against those acts all the way through. They would not have passed without Republicans. And at that time, the Republican Party, if you look at the Republican Party history, they were the ones that were out front on women's rights, as well as rights that pertain to the abolition of slavery and just the integration of African Americans into American life. They were always on the right side of those issues. They've been the party of for life, not just for the life of the unborn, but just the sanctity of human life all the way through. They've been the party for God, country, and family. But the Republicans now seem to think, some of them, that they have to behave like Democrats. So you have pro-abortion Republicans.
Very strange.
Have Republicans supporting, some of them, euthanasia. They are losing their way. And if they become, you know, just another version of the Democratic Party, then I think the Republican Party will die as quickly as it was birthed.
And, you know, that is a daunting, you know, fear that we all have. I'm not a Republican. I'm a conservative. And I'm also, I mean, when it comes to voting, I tend to vote Republican, but I'm conservative, which means small government. I'm pro-life. I'm pro-capital punishment. I'm for all people of all races.
That's
I see everybody.
In support, though.
What's that?
You'll never find a Democrat you can support, because for me...
No, exactly right. I mean, that's the problem. I mean, as much as I want to say I'm an independent, I don't think I could ever vote for a Hillary Clinton because I know who she is. Or a Barack Obama, I know who he is. And Doctor, I guess the question that I have is this. We've got Latinos and black folks and other minorities in our country that have historically, and this is since the 30s and 40s, it's not since the 60s and 70s, that's a lie about that.
Right.
But because of economics, they switched to the Democrat Party and sort of went to bed with the enemy because they felt it would be better economically. It turns out it wasn't, and the party just wanted to have a hold of this voting bloc. But how do you convince somebody who I know is generally speaking Christian, generally speaking for family values, generally speaking for smaller government, lower tax, who happens to be other than white? How do I convince them that they're voting the wrong way, or that they should wake up and at least read history?
First of all, I don't know if you can, you know, individually, but I think that for a lot of us, you start by building relationships, and if you build trust, and I spoke at a predominantly black church this past weekend for Ladies Day, and I showed my video, and I talked about everything, you know, Black Lives Matters and the role of faith. And people listened. They invited me back. They wanted me to speak, you know, to some of their groups. I think that a lot of blacks know that things are wrong, and they know that the Democratic Party is not serving their interests, but they're afraid of Republicans. And I believe
is it really? And I'm sorry for interrupting, but is it really a lack of outreach? Is that what happened? The Democrats reached out to the community, and the community said, "Well, cool, at least you're here." And the Republicans said, "Well, you're more like us, so we're not even going to visit." Is it because they haven't reached out?
It's part of that, because I've been to meetings in Washington involving campaign officials where I hear campaign strategists telling Republican candidates not to waste their time in the minority community. The communities they need to go where the ducks are, and to focus, you know, on the communities where they're likely to get the vote. Well, if you do that, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. There have been Republicans, white Republicans across the country, in states like Ohio, in Pennsylvania, scattered few, that have developed relationships with blacks, and they've gotten, you know, a significant percentage of the black vote. They're not going to get the black vote if they don't go among black people and establish relationships. And even with President Trump, you saw that he campaigned for the black vote. He went into black churches. He had town hall meetings where I would argue he seemed more at home with the blacks in those town hall meetings than he did with some of the other town halls where I saw him speak. And when he showed compassion for the mothers who had lost their children, I believe that that compassion was as real as the empathy he's shown for poor whites in those parts of the country where they don't have jobs. They don't have hope. They're losing their, you know, their men to suicide and to alcoholism and drug abuse. I think that people are people. And if we could just move away from racializing everything and look at the real social class issues, the problems that are affecting poor people generally, we would be able to make progress. But black people are just like any other people. If you show an interest in them, if you develop a relationship and you invite them, you know, maybe to your church or maybe to some meeting.
Right.
And one reason I think why Republicans tend not to do so well, maybe even with some working class whites, is that a lot of their events are high dollar events. They bring in Ben Carson and they charge $1,000 for you to see him or some exorbitant fee. I think that if Republicans were serious about recruiting blacks, and some are, that they would invite or they would bring these speakers in and place them where they would actually be able to interact with the people who need to hear that message.
I think it's great advice. You know, I could talk to you for the next 7 hours, but we're out of time. It's Professor Carol M. Swain. I saw her in Hillary's America, The Secret History of the Democratic Party, Dinesh D'Souza's movie. If you haven't seen that, go and see the doctor in that. Her book, her latest, is called Abduction. I want you to go and grab that, or Be the People, A Call to Reclaim America's Faith and Promise. The American dream is certainly alive and well in you, and I've gained so much just by spending a little bit of time with you, doctor. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Really appreciate having her on. Go and follow her on all the social media. And I wonder, just a general question to you. You know, why are race relations where they are? Why do minorities think that they're liberal or Democrats? Why has that been the pattern when you can go through history, and it's recorded history, that the left side of the aisle has always been the side of the aisle that compartmentalizes people by their skin color, by their racial background, and by other specific characteristics? 1-800-501-7080. Stay here.
This is The Weekend with Joe Pags.
All right, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, the Blaze Radio Network. It's The Weekend with Joe Pags. Glad to have you along for the ride. I wasn't a Duck Dynasty guy. I didn't watch Duck Dynasty. I don't know. I guess everybody else did. I understand it's a great show. And actually, during the week, I've got Carrie and Polo on the program with me, and they both suggested I go and binge watch Duck Dynasty. So maybe I will. Certainly familiar with Phil Robertson and his family. I know who, you know, is on Duck Dynasty. I just didn't know much about him. Phil Robertson, though, has a brand new program coming out. Remember, there was some controversy at A&E when they squelched his voice and suspended him because he dared say something that was out of the Bible in some interview somewhere. And the whole thing just sort of, it was the beginning of the end. But he's got a new program out where he's going to be unfiltered. And I had the opportunity to talk to him a couple of days ago. Phil, I appreciate you coming on. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Man, it's really great to have you on. I mean, honest to goodness, Middle America, and I think even beyond that, absolutely loves you, loves your family, loves the controversy, loves the Ducks, and we just haven't seen much from you lately, and I hear we're going to be seeing a lot more of you.
Well, my oldest son said, Dad, you need to talk more. And I said, well, figure out some venue where I may do that. And they came up with this thing and presented me with it. I said, hey, let's go for it.
And the problem was, you didn't mind talking more, but on A&E, you actually were in trouble because you talked too much. You dared quote the Bible. How dare you, Phil?
Oh, yeah. I've quoted a Bible verse, and you'd have thought I was one of the meanest men on the face of the earth.
Yeah. You're thinking, a phobe, something is.
To hear the bad news that we're all sinners and we got a 6-foot hole waiting on us, before you can appreciate the good news of Jesus removing our sins and raising us from the dead. So bad news first, but with that particular thing, I never got past the bad news.
Which was stunning to people like me. And again, Middle America supported you so big in that. When A&E made that move, they were inundated with people saying, are you high? They actually wanted A&E and the higher-ups to all be drug tested. That's how dumb that move was.
Oh,
It's Phil Robertson. And again, he's got a brand new program. It's called In the Woods with Phil. It's going to be on CRTV, which is CRTV.com. And is this going to be no filters at all, Phil?
No filters at all. You know, you got to remember, without sponsors and all this stuff, it's just me talking. Basically, what we're doing is we're presenting a dichotomy of humanity.
Okay.
On one side, you've got Romans 1, the ones who don't think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, God gives them over. And the list is rather long, but it starts out, they're become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity, full of murder. If you just look around the landscape, we're seeing more and more of it. I mean, mass shootings, and I mean thuggery and drugs. Miss Kay and I deal with drug addicts, the ones that fix to go to prison, opioids, and it's just ongoing. Well, that's one part of society.
Right.
On the other side, you see people who are loving. They have joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. What we're doing in the show is saying, here's two groups. you're in one of them or the other one. It's
right.
just pretty simple. And if you're in one that's the bad one, well, here's the way to get out of it. And if you're in the good one, good for you. We need more of you. And that's basically what the show is about. Every facet of life, why are we doing what we're doing? And we're basically just looking at it from through a spiritual lens. You know, our founding fathers, they warned us repeatedly, when you forget God, tyrants forge your chains.
Yeah.
And we're there, my man.
No, I'm with you. Phil Robertson, Duck Dynasty fame. He's got a brand new program called In the Woods with Phil on CRTV. It's a subscription site. That's why he said it's not going to have a bunch of commercials and stuff in it. You go there, and you pay a small amount, and you get some great programs. You know, what you had to say was really spot on. We try to, well, not you and I, but people in our society, the left especially, tries to tell us we're not a Judeo-Christian society. Of course we are. They try to tell us that the people who founded the country were not believers. They were. Most were Christians, a lot were deists, but they all believed in God.
Our
laws are based on the Magna Carta, said God constantly in the Ten Commandments. We know who wrote the Ten Commandments. So, Phil, how have we gotten here? Because there are people who actually believe that what I just said isn't true.
It started with the beatniks in the late 50s, morphed out into the hippies of the 60s, my generation, and by the time they got through with this, a lot of people don't realize, you say, whatever happened to the hippies, because they're my age. I'm 71.
Yeah.
So they're about my age. They migrated and they became your judges. They migrated into the institutions of higher learning,
yeah.
into your government, into your news media, into Hollywood and all that. You say, good night, they're still here. They're still espousing that God is dead, and they ran him out of the courthouses, the schools. You say, and now we are paying the price. You forget God and the trouble starts. Every empire that's risen and fallen, that's pretty well what's their problem.
It's Phil Robertson in the Woods with Phil on CRTV, a brand new program where he's going to be unfiltered. And I love that we're going to get a dichotomy from you. I love that we're going to be breaking that down. Phil, have you ever spent any time thinking about this? Why exactly would anybody want a valueless, moral-less society? What does that gain anybody?
You got to remember, two forces are behind both of the groups. You have God and his work through his spirit in one group, and you have the evil one who works in people to do what he wants done.
Yeah.
So that's why you see these two opposing, you know, the question is who in the world, but the evil one, you say that's where you see murder
right.
and lies. The evil one is there.
And we need the good one to permeate again, but you're right. He was kicked out of school, what, in 58 or something?
Yep.
And we're told that you can't have a Bible encased in some sort of a podium outside of a courthouse. You can't say the Ten Commandments because you're
yeah.
forcing your religion on me. You can't have
a
nativity scene in front of a courthouse. Think about
yeah.
that.
Think about it. They don't want honor your children, honor your father and mother. Well,
right.
whoa, we don't want that. I'm like, it makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
Don't murder, commandment number 6. You're
right.
like, yeah, that's a good one. Don't commit adultery. Well, you won't, your genitals won't be eaten off by a sexually transmitted disease. It'll be safe
right.
if you keep your sex between a male and a female.
Right.
Don't steal. Makes sense to me. Don't
yeah.
lie. Don't covet what your neighbor has. If you get to thinking about it, you're like, well, what in the world would you want to take that out of a courthouse?
Right.
Because if you violate all those commands, you end up at the courthouse.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. From Duck Dynasty fame on A&E, of course, it's Phil Robertson. We really, really love having you on. Let me go to Duck Dynasty for a second. When you were proposed that show, were you ready to go, or did you have second thoughts? What was your thought process going into that?
I'll tell you what happened. My kids, after the A&E executives left the house here on the river, they pitched the show and then they left. And my kids looked at me. That's Alan and Jason and Willie Boy
right.
and Jeff.
Right.
And an old Si was here. And they said, Phil, what do you think? I said, well, I just don't think that a bunch of rednecks shooting ducks is going to do anything. I said, however, what if the Almighty's behind it and he's providing an opportunity for us to get the good news out? If he's behind it, the thing will go ballistic. I said, that's what I think.
Yeah.
As it turned out, my man, thousands upon thousands of people have been converted to Christ via that TV show.
And you guys prayed on that show every day. Was there any trepidation from A&E and the executives? Did they ever say to you guys, maybe we cannot do the prayer?
I held up my Bible in front of them when they pitched the show, and I said, if y'all are going to film our family, a functional one for a while, I said, you have a functional family here, which is a rare thing these days.
Right.
And I held up my Bible. I said, does this go in too? Is this part of the show? And they said at the time, whatever y'all do, Mr. Robertson, we're just going to film it. But as it turned out, they would, like when you pray to God for the meal you're fixed to eat, for crying out loud, I would say, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I noticed they would cut "in Jesus' name" out. So I got a hold of some of them. I said, what's with that?
Right.
And they said, well, we don't want to offend any of the Muslims. I said, look, this country was founded on Judeo-Christian value. Yeah. What are you talking about? So I chewed them out about it, so they put his name back in. But it was that kind of stuff throughout the whole filming session.
Is that really the reason that was given, Phil? Because recently on The View, there was a young lady on there talking about how you know, if you said Jesus in the house, it better be holding him up on high, and you can't say, you know, JC in anger.
On The View, they cut her out. Those wonderful ladies on The View came up with that. So I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, the reality is we follow Jesus, we love him, and I don't know whether people care whether they hate him or not. We love him. We're going to point you to him no matter what we do. And the bottom line is, I said, I investigated him. What is wrong with him?
Right.
I said, I found nothing wrong with him.
Yeah, and to edit out the name because it might offend somebody else, if you're offended by that, as you said, you're offended by our value system, you need to go somewhere else. It's
exactly.
Phil Robertson, Duck Dynasty fame. His brand new show is called In the Woods with Phil. Is this on now or is it about to be on? When's this going to be
on? It's already been released, and they're putting a few episodes on. You got to remember, the irony of it all, Pags, is this.
Yeah.
I've never turned on a computer, and I've never owned a cell phone in my 71 years on the earth.
So you can't watch the show?
I can't watch the show because I don't even fool with either one of them. And somebody asked me, they said, well, how in the world do you function without a cell phone or a computer?
Yeah.
And my answer is very peacefully, thank you.
Absolutely. I'd love to try that for just a day. It's Phil Robertson. The name of the show is In the Woods with Phil. It's on CRTV now. You can go there and sign up and go watch it. And other great shows, too. Michelle Malkin, Mark Levin. Phil, it's an absolute honor. Let's not be strangers, all right?
Hey, okay, man. Thanks.
Hope to talk again soon. And congratulations on the show. Nothing but great luck to you.
Thanks, man.
We appreciate talking to Phil Robertson. Your thoughts on that? We've got time for some calls when we come back as well. It's The Weekend with Joe Pag. Stay here. Great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks. It is The Weekend with Joe Pags. Make sure you stop by my website, joepags.com. Go there. Click on Facebook. Go follow me on Facebook and like and kick the page around and do whatever you have to do. Go ahead and take part. I do put the program up on Facebook. Also, go to Twitter, at Joe Talk Show, and follow me there. That'll make Jack mad. I don't know. Jack Dorsey, is that his name? I don't know if there are other people involved, too. But also stop by Instagram. Now, here's the deal. On Facebook and Twitter, I'll do the political debate. I'll post the articles to the stories that I'm talking about. We'll have some fun there, show-related. Instagram, cheesy gym photos, videos, and pictures of my kids and dogs.
Yeah, that's good.
Why not, right?
It's good. It's a nice little break.
And then there was like some political debate breaking out on my Instagram the other day. Don't do that crap.
How can you do that with like cute little dogs and
everything?
Right.
It's a picture of my freaking dog and people are arguing about Clinton and Trump
Oh God, my eyes. Oh God.
That's who these people are. Okay.
That's rough.
Just stop it. You go to my Instagram, it's Joe Talk Show, and go enjoy the pictures, maybe make a stupid little comment, but don't be Mr. and Mrs. Political on there. At the end of the day, we try to entertain. That's the first thing. Trisha, what's going on? Anything good?
Ooh, I'm trying to think. Nothing really. There's nothing really going on right now.
You're not making it happen? You're not getting it done?
No. I've been traveling back and forth from Temecula and everything, seeing my parents and stuff, hanging out with them. So it's been good, though.
Still watching football, right?
I'm still watching football. I'm still all about football, even though I know you're not about football right now.
I have no idea what anybody's record is or anything. Are your 49ers doing anything?
Why would you bring that up? That's mean.
Because it's your team, is it not?
That's really mean.
I'm trying to be a good friend. I have no idea. I swear to you.
Okay,
you have no idea.
Yeah, sure.
No, I really don't. I don't know anybody's record. I don't even know the record of my Miami Dolphins. I have no clue.
You want to know what the record is?
Sure.
It's embarrassing. Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. Dude. I don't even want to talk about it right now. It's a touchy subject.
Is it normal that I'm arguing with Billy Baldwin on Twitter?
I'm going to have to say, yeah, this does not surprise me. I don't know.
I started. He did.
He started
very strange. He's still tweeting. He just now tweeted me now.
Wait, what are you guys arguing about?
It's very strange. Trump. Oh. I guess the Baldwin family hates Trump. And that's it.
What?
We hate Trump, and that's the way it's going to be.
I would have never guessed because.
Well, what's interesting is because he and Alec both hate Trump, but I think the other Baldwin brothers not so much.
Yeah, the other one is like about him. He's like it's funny. There must be
right
to be at that Thanksgiving dinner table. That would just be.
It must be really, really interesting.
Oh man. Wait, so you're arguing with him right now? You guys are fighting
on Twitter? He just now tweeted me 35 seconds ago. Born on third base, and you'd think he'd hit a triple. Father handed him keys to a multi-million dollar empire, and he nearly ran it into a ditch. What is he talking about?
Huh?
Why the hatred for Donald Trump? I don't get it.
Something
I really don't.
What?
I mean, the Baldwins are from the same part of Long Island that I am.
Okay.
And that's not the mentality of most people from Long Island. I mean, you would expect that they'd feel good that a New York guy made good. But there's some weird hatred. And now I'm wondering, and to say something that dumb about Donald Trump, it's just dumb. I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
It makes you think, because I don't know the situation. I know that Alec at least has a daughter. It might have more kids. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no clue whether Billy Baldwin has more kids or not. I have no idea whatsoever. None.
Yeah.
But if they do have children, and again, I know that Alec has at least one. These are successful guys. The Baldwin brothers are successful. They have a lot of money.
Oh, I was going to say, I only know about Alec, so...
You don't know about Billy Baldwin? You got Alec, got Billy, got Steven. You got the other one. I actually interviewed the other one, but I forget his first name.
my gosh.
But you got the Baldwin brothers, and they're all very successful. I mean, some would say they're good actors. Some would say, bah. But either way... Does that mean that if their children are now successes, we can denigrate their kids' accomplishments because dad had money?
Oh, that's a good point.
Isn't that what he's saying?
Pretty much.
Trump started on third base and blah, 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 blah. But what does that mean? I mean, Billy Baldwin's kids are going to be kids who get a leg up because of his hard work.
Right.
Now, I don't know what their background, I don't know what their parents' background is, but again, it's a family from Long Island, I think from Massapequa area, which is where my grandfather actually and his brothers built a lot of shopping centers and stuff.
That's
so
awesome.
I'm from the same general area of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand the hatred. I really don't, because he's literally saying, disregard any success my kids have. Disregard anything good they do. Because I gave them a step up or a leg up, unless he's making his kids live in a shack out in the field or something. I don't know. Maybe he's making them live in a trailer while he's in his mansion. That could be.
Oh, that'll be really nice. Kids come in for dinner. Come in from your...
forget that. No. You deliver them a little morsel. You don't have them in for dinner.
And then
when they're 18, tell them, okay, it turns out you're from a rich family, but we didn't want you to grow up thinking that you didn't have to work hard. So here you go. Now go into the world, and I've made a trust fund for you. It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Now, I don't know what Billy Baldwin's problem is, other than maybe he's a follower of his brother. And his brother, we all know, is a little nutty. I mean, he'll like have a fight with somebody in the street for no reason. So we know that he's nuts. But Billy, I never have, you know, talked with Billy Baldwin before. I've seen him, I think, in one movie.
Yeah.
I think it was called Sliver.
Sliver?
And it was all about, I think you were watching people in every room in some hotel or some apartment building or something.
What?
I don't, it's been 25 plus years since I've seen it.
I've...
But Billy now is like his brother, some great political mind. There's some weird disconnect.
Right.
So again, Trump is no good because his dad worked really hard and did well. So therefore, his successes can be denigrated. I'm going to assume that if Billy Baldwin has kids, and I have no idea if he has them, that we can denigrate or downplay any successes they have because they come from a successful family. That's how dumb Hollywood can be.
Well, welcome.
That's how dumb Hollywood can be. 1-800-501-7080. 1-800-501-7080. All right. That's going to do it for the weekend with Joe Pags, Thanksgiving Day edition 2017. For Tricia, for Martin, for my entire family and me, want to wish you the safest and best Thanksgiving you've ever had. Back again next week, right here on the weekend with Joe Pags.